Thanks for tuning in. It's 11:59.
Put my mic on!
I just said he should have got the award. What else do you want me to say?
Come on now, wait a second.
So lost. 49, 152, 328, 37, 117, 297.
I have a lot of championships. I'm telling you, it's the bread. I am one of the gifted guys that use in a snowball.
Wait a second. Andy Pettit is a starting pitcher.
Have some guts to commit. Goodall, have some guts. Show some guts. A little guts here. Guts. Throw him out of the league. Throw him the hell out.
Bottoms up, get them up.
Sit right here and have another beer in Mexico.
We are country and western.
Let's get this thing started, it's my kind of party.
And that brings up Ellsbury. Romine's at third, Headley at second, Holiday at first.
And the pitch is swung. There goes the deep right. It is high, and it is far, and it is gone. It's a grand slam.
The first of his career.
Here's Castro. He's the tying run. It's now 11-9.
And there goes the deep left. It is high, and it is far, and it is gone.
Yankees have come all the way back. And the Yankees now have the winning run in scoring position. Now here's Matt Holiday.
And the pitch is swung on and drilled to deep center. Jones going back, away back, on the track. It is gone. Happy Holiday. Happy Holiday. Matt has back.
When you're...
Summertime is finally here. That old ballpark man is back in gear. Out on 49, man, I can see the lights. School's out and the night's rolling, man, just like a long lost friend. You ain't seen in a while, you can't help but smile. And it's two bad feet on the dashboard. It's a sip of wine, it's summertime, sweet summertime. Temperature says 93 down at the deposit and guarantee, but that swimming hole, it's nice and cold. Bikini bottoms underneath, but the boys' hearts still skip a beat when them girls shimmy off them old cutoffs. And it's two bad feet on the dashboard, young love and an old Ford, cheap shades and a tattoo and a U-hoo bottle on the floorboard, perfect song on the radio, sing along, cause it's one we know, it's a smile, it's a kiss, it's a sip of wine. Summertime, sweet summertime. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Don't matter how old you are, man, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, baby, when you got two bad feet on the dashboard. Tattoo and a YouTube
It's a kiss. It's a sip of wine. It's summertime. Sweet summertime. Every heartland, farm town, fence post, son. Every West Coast big break queen. All your high-rise skyline concrete kids. Every zip code in between. Grab your first-time front porch pounding hard and gas up your Chevrolet. 'Cause the sun's half gone and it won't be long till we make our getaway. This is our Grab your favorite pair of denim, patched up knees and faded blue. Fold 220s in your pocket, kiss your mama at the door. Take a picture, perfect postcard, and send it out across the world. This is our
welcome everybody to another edition here of the program, Colin Country, 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Eastern Pennsylvania, the whole deal, WJRH.org. Show 14 here that we have after a few week hiatus. We're back. We did not get canned. Unlike Bill O'Reilly, we're back and we're still number one. So that's the bottom line. We got a pretty good show tonight. We'll have some callers returning to the program. Will has been gone for a while, but he should be back unless he flakes out again, which is always possible. You never know, but he's scheduled to be back. We should be hearing from Chris White. We should be hearing from my neighbor Hannah in a new segment we're going to be debuting here, which could be pretty good or could be terrible. So we'll see. You never know. And then you never know who else. And maybe the senator will call in. I don't know. He he's been MIA here, but he said it's a possibility, so we'll see about that. That the last song, I had not listened to that whole song yet, but it's the latest one from Rascal Flatts. I thought it was pretty good until the last part where they start, the choir starts going. That's kind of weird, but maybe I should, maybe that's why you should listen to the full song before you play it, Ben. But as everyone knows, preparation is minimal here. We just, we go for it and we're number one, so, so obviously it's working. The president is in the great state of Pennsylvania tonight in Harrisburg as it's marking his 100th day in office and taking considerable attention away from the dopey White House Correspondents' Dinner, where the president usually goes to that, but they, Trump and the media have had quite a rift, so he will not be going to that, and said he's going to be in PA. So shout out to him. I'm sure he'll be talking about what he's done in the last 100 days or the first 100 days. Which obviously is an idiotic and completely pointless milestone that everyone hypes up. But, I mean, at the same time, it's his fault because he hyped it up too and said, well, I'm going to do all this in 100 days. And, you know, he did some of it and he didn't do some of it. What was anybody else expecting? So everyone needs to take a deep breath and calm down because, yeah, he got a lot done, and he, some stuff that he didn't get done the first 100 days that he said he would, so I'm sure he'll get it done later, or he won't. We'll see. But everyone needs to calm down about the whole 100-day thing. It's not a big deal. It's really not. Tomorrow's the same day as today. It's the same deal. It's a 24-hour day. It doesn't matter if it's the 101st day or the 100th day or the 99th day. Who cares? So, but he'll be in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania tonight, talking about his record here in the first 100 days. As there's a U.S. ship off of North Korea, another one, a big warship. I mean, honestly, what does Kim Jong-un think he's doing? He's a fat little loser. He's dictator of a stupid country that is failing in every respect. And he thinks he's, I mean, it's idiotic. We could literally turn his country into ashes in about 2 seconds. And he acts like he's this big tough guy. Take a seat. So it's quite annoying. If there weren't so many innocent people there, just say nuke it. But, you know, we can't take out all the innocent people. We just want to take out Kim and his fat little friends. That's hurtful, but, I mean, I really don't care because he's fat and he's dumb. So what are you going to do? And then we also have, we will have more music coming. Brad Paisley's new album is out as of like a week ago. Let's say Saturday, as of 8 days ago. So we'll have a new one from Brad Paisley, his latest single, and some stuff that, some under-the-radar songs from people who are not marquee names yet, but who we think will be shortly. So we'll play some of that, and then what else will we do? Well, I was golfing all day, so I really had no time to prepare for the show. So not that if I did have time, I would have prepared, but we really had no time to prepare for this today. And of course, as everyone knows, anybody who's listened to the show for a while, me and the technology here did not get along well at all. Tonight is no different because, of course, I come in. Everything appears fine. The room's not either 0 degrees or a million degrees as it usually is. It's either freezing or about the temperature of the sun. It's decent temperature today, but of course, the headphones don't work. So we'll see how the calls go because, well, they work. They kind of work. I was wearing them for the intro to the show, and you can only hear the instruments playing. You couldn't hear any of the people singing. So I don't know what the deal with that is. And then when I'm playing the actual songs, there's a massive static coming through the headphones, and you have to turn the headphone volume up all the way to the top, which makes the static extremely loud, and then you hear, like, faint echoes of voices. So So how that will play out with the phones remains to be seen. So, I mean, the show could be good or it could be a complete train wreck tonight. I guess we'll find out. I think Hannah's calling in soon with the new segment that we're going to debut here. So we'll see. I mean, that may work or it may not work at all, and we may be wrapping this thing up in about 5 minutes. So, well, we won't do that, but we're not going to be happy for the next 45 minutes if the phones don't work. So we will get to the energy's low right now. I gotta pick the energy up. We will get to Hannah after the next song, and the next song is the latest single from Brad Paisley's new album. What's it called? His new album's called Love and War. Love and War, 16 songs, and he had one single out today, which went number one, his biggest hit in a long time, and now his next one we will play for you now, and will it be as big as today? Probably not, but, you know, it's still a good song, so we're going to play it. It's called Last Time for Everything, Brad Paisley. And then we will be hearing from Hannah. Hold on. There it is. All right.
Using a fake ID at a college bar. Getting caught with a girl in the backseat of a car. Running out on the field for the senior game wearing number 17. There's a last time for everything. Like a George Strait cassette in a Pontiac. Our talent supercuts, let's leave it long in the back. Wearing a tux in a high school gym, and she's wearing your class ring. There's a last time for everything.
We're back, and Hannah's on the line here, so let's see how this works. Hannah, I'm going to connect you now, and hopefully it works. Hold on. Connect. Joining us now, hopefully, is Hannah Panarek. Hannah, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I can barely hear you, but I'm going to grind through it, and we're going to see what happens here. So just make sure you speak up.
Okay, can you hear me? I don't know. Jillian says hi. She's here at Gettysburg with me this weekend.
Oh, that's better, actually. I can hear you better now. Of course, now when I talk into the mic, because the headphone volume's so high, it's blasting my ears. Oh, my gosh. This place is a wreck. I'm really I'm after this semester, I'm taking my show to Sirius XM or somewhere.
I think you should. I think you're better than Stormy Warren.
Than Stormy Warren? Yeah, yeah. I should get a show on the highway. Hold on. Yeah, I should. That'd be great. Be a disc jockey.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. Just do the same thing I do here, except on the highway, and I'd actually have some listeners and some programs.
I have some listeners, yeah.
Yeah, some technology that works. It's ridiculous. Anyway.
Right, yeah.
Wait, did you say Jillian's there?
Jillian's visiting me this weekend. She wanted me to tell you hello.
Oh, that's right. Well, hello, Jillian. Nice to see you, or nice to hear from you. What'd she say?
She said, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you.
She said
that he's fine. Okay. Anyway, so you're calling us here tonight to debut this new segment that, of course, I thought of, and it's so obviously it's a brilliant segment, and the segment is that, well, first of all, let me give the history of our track record here with calling people who are going to be, yeah, so Hannah and I have a remarkable track record of picking out artists that are going to turn into superstars, namely Granger Smith, who the only people who knew about that guy were people in Texas, and then me and you, and we knew about him 3 years ago, and now, of course, he's a star. He has a very well-selling album. He has a number one song, another song that's in the top 10. I mean, he's now on a big big record label, promoting him very highly. And we were on that train years ago. And then, again, Luke Combs, who we were on his train 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, his song Hurricane, we knew about that song, like...
Take it off.
We knew about that song 24 months ago. And now, only now is it being played on the radio, but we were all over that song, and now it's going to be a number one hit. And we called it. So, with that being said, and with our storied track record being known now to the audience, this segment is Hannah's going to pick a song and an artist that is going to be the next big thing, and then we're going to play it and see what we think. So, I don't know who she picked or what song she picked or anything. So, we're all learning for the first time here what that is. So, Hannah, will you please share with the audience what that is?
Yes. My artist that I pick is Russell Dickerson.
That's a good one.
Because 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, he followed me on Twitter. Okay? I had no idea who this man was. And he followed me on Twitter, randomly.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up this song, That's My Girl. It was his first hit in 2011.
Wow, 6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And he's come a long way since then, obviously. So my song that I wanted to play was Blue Tacoma.
Oh, Blue Tacoma? That's funny because we were actually going to play Blue Tacoma later on in the show. I didn't even know about that. So we'll play it now.
All right, beautiful.
All right, we're going to play it. And then, so I agree with you. This is a great song, very catchy song.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be
really
a big hit. He is good.
He's really good. He's going to be, I think.
So
he's gonna go places.
Yeah, this is on his EP, his 5-song EP, which he released last year. So I guess when they release the EP and like they're just starting out, so this EP will be translated into probably a full album this year, I would imagine. And it seems like Blue Tacoma will be the first single off of that. It's a great song, really good song. So great call.
Really
the highway's playing it a little bit, I believe, right?
A little bit, yeah.
But it's not like on FM radio yet, I don't think.
But
so you heard it here first from Hannah, and I would like to endorse that pick. I think that's a great pick. You will be hearing the song on the radio this year. We can be pretty confident in that. So when you do, the first FM station you heard it on, well, who knows if I'm even on FM anymore, but let's assume I am. The first FM station you heard it on was 104.9 at Lafayette College.
Yep.
So just maybe Russell can remember that, or maybe you can tweet him and tell him that we're playing his music.
I will tweet him.
Maybe he can come on the show one time.
That's a good idea. I'm going to tweet him.
Maybe next time he's in the area.
Me.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he follows like 30,000 people.
You know what? I'm going to check that.
Yeah, let's see how many people. It's probably one of those, you know. Yeah, come on.
It was a big day he followed me on Twitter. I didn't know who he was.
Well, I mean, now you do, so.
I discovered him. He only follows 638 people.
Oh, that's actually pretty good then. That's impressive. Good for you.
Oh, yeah.
Toss him a DM.
I'm gonna tweet him.
Wait, if you both follow each other, you can toss him a DM, and then maybe he'll see it.
No, you're right. You're right.
More chance of him seeing it. Maybe next time he's in the...
Did he unfollow me?
Oh, no. He unfollowed you?
He did. It doesn't matter. 2 years ago, he followed me. I promise. I have the email to prove it.
Yeah. Well, my other question is, why didn't you get tickets to go see Trump in Harrisburg tonight?
Because it's a big weekend here at Gettysburg, Spring Fest. There's a few concerts here.
A lot of debauchery.
Yeah, a lot of debauchery.
Well,
but it's a fun weekend, so... The tickets to see Trump are kind of expensive, too. I looked it up.
I can't believe your parents allowed that.
My mom texted me this morning and said, Hannah, why aren't you at this Trump rally? And I said, because I just woke up, you know, and...
Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
Well, there's...
I did look up the tickets. They were kind of expensive. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I feel you. Well, they're showing, like, I have the live stream up because, of course, we have the most breaking news on the show. So if news breaks here, we're going to have it. And they're panning around the arena, and the place is packed. It looks like a pretty nice setup.
It's kind of shocking, though. Harrisburg's a really sketchy town.
Oh, really?
I'm surprised there's a lot of Trump supporters there. That's all. But I'm sure people drove from, you know, a lot of...
Yeah, well,
thanks
to us and thanks to my program, we turned Pennsylvania red, so...
Absolutely.
That's right. That was a big night.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Well, we appreciate your vote, of course. Wow, there's all these people in the live chat donating money to this GoFundMe to build the wall. Maybe I'll toss in $10.
That's great.
It's really funny. The live chat next to the YouTube stream. There are all these people tossing in money. This is awesome. Wow.
Wow. That's great.
Oh, geez. Yeah, wow. Thomas Malloy just tossed in $100. You're going to privately build the wall.
Well,
that's fine. All right. Well, we're going to get to... We'll play Blue Tacoma here because that's what the people want to hear.
I'm tweeting him as we speak.
I love that. That's great. You know, we're going to fire it up. Thank you very much for your recommendation. If I have a show next weekend...
No problem.
I may be in New York next weekend, so we'll see. But if I have a show, we'll run back the segment for next weekend. And
all right. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much, Hannah.
All right. Thank you.
Don't get into too much trouble.
I won't.
Okay. Good. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
See ya. All right. Let's hear Blue Tacoma here, chosen for this program by my neighbor Hannah. This is Blue Tacoma, Russell Dickerson.
Top of our lungs, shuffling in on still the one. Missing turns, cause that's our song. If heaven is anywhere, it's in a blue Tacoma, California. White magnolia in your hair, rays of gold shining on you. Ooh, if heaven is anywhere, it's never running out of golden road. Always having your hand to hold in a blue Tacoma, California. Right here. Red sun melting to the blacktop. Dollar shades from a nowhere truck stop. You're kissing that coastline. If heaven is anywhere, pull it over to the shoulder to take it in. Loving you longer than I ever did. Going places we've never been. Cause heaven's in a blue Tacoma, California. White magnolia in your hair. Rays of gold are shining on you. Ooh, if heaven is anywhere, it's never running out of golden road.
All right. I agree with Hannah. I think that will be a big hit this year. Apparently Pence is there at the rally too. I guess he'll introduce Trump, keeping an eye on it, but nothing happening yet. Middlebury College just announced that Middlebury College, of course, the site where when Charles Murray went to speak, the conservative speaker, he was completely shouted down, and then they started pulling fire alarms, and then they started screaming at him. Well, the protesters did, not the people who want to hear him speak, and he wasn't able to speak, and then they tried to take him out to his car, and a professor tried to walk him out to his car, and a mob grabbed the professor's hair and yanked her hair back and gave her a concussion, and all this violent stuff that happened at Middlebury over a speaker. Finally, many months later, the college has announced disciplinary action for 70 individuals they believe took part in this violent attempt to stop Mr. Murray from speaking, but they will not comment on the nature or range of the sanctions until the process is complete. Let's see. This one threw a stop sign with a heavy concrete brace in front of his car. Several others rocked, pounded, and jumped on his car. It gave the professor a concussion. Middlebury police are close to completing their own investigation, but they cannot be reached for comment. And so, yeah, they got sanctions, but the school won't say what they are. Conveniently enough, it took them 5 or 6 months to come out with any, and now we have no idea what they are. They're probably about nothing. So there's that. We also have the development. Now, we have an interesting twist. Of course, if you follow the program, you know that we are following this head transplant guy. And so the latest article out as of yesterday, Italian neurosurgeon Sergio Canavero will undertake the first human head transplant later this year in China. It was originally going to be in England with the Russian dude, but apparently it's going to be in China now with, I think, somebody else. I'm not. It might be the Russian guy still, but it's not in England anymore. And then after he does this, he's going to revive a cryogenically frozen brain and transplant it into a donor body. He's going to do that within the next 3 years. So we will be following that after he does the head transplant. The head transplant, of course, where he's going to sever somebody's head, and he's going to take a dead body and take that guy's head off, and then cut the live body guy's head off, and then switch their heads. So we'll see if it works. Calling the program now, it's Will Agathis. Let me put him on here real quick. Hey, Will, we're on now, so I'm going to toss you right on. All right. Joining the program now, one of our esteemed guests, making his long-awaited return to the program, is Will Agathis. Will, welcome. How are you?
Good. I mean, this is great to be back. You know, it's the first Saturday that has any meaning for me since the show went off the air.
Wow, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you were very worried we were going to get Bill O'Reilly'd, but we didn't. We're back, so I'm sure you're very happy to hear about that, aren't you?
Yeah, I am a bit relieved. I mean, it really just put things into perspective for me. I mean, you think that, you know, your show is healthy, and then it goes off the air for a few weeks, and you just wonder what you're supposed to be doing with your life, and you know, I'm just happy to find this meaning and purpose again.
That's
being on the show for 15 minutes a week.
Yeah, well, I mean, your star was fading because, of course, this is the only time you get to be a star, a media star, and we're the only program that's dumb enough to give you a platform. So without that, I'm sure you felt, you know, very isolated. So we're happy to have you back, and I'm sure you're even happier to be back, which is great.
Yeah, I can't even quantify it.
And I'm sure you're also very excited because the NFL draft has been going on. Do you follow that at all? Are you one of the guys that gets hyped up for the NFL draft? Will is a big NFL guy.
No, I mean, yeah, you're right in that I'm a big NFL guy, but definitely not a big draft guy. I mean, I took a sports business class this semester, and I think my professor said it best. You're talking about these guys who are, you know, 21, 22 years old. They're not going to make an impact right away. It's kind of just weird when you're their age to be like talking about them as if they're the next big thing. So, you know, personally, I don't really look into it that much anymore, but right. I do like to see who the Jets pick, and I hope that whoever they do pick can be a good starter. I saw they got two safeties. Saw the Giants got a tight end.
Yeah, they did a quick one too. Runs like a 4.4. So,
jeez. So he's basically a wide receiver.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know what his build is, but yeah. But I agree with that. I can't get excited over the draft. I mean, no, yeah, you can project what they're going to do, but no one has any idea what these guys are going to really do until they play the game. So that's great that you draft them, but I get excited for the games. I'm not excited for the draft. Who cares?
Roger, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, come on. I'm not a big draft guy at all. That's very overhyped, but, you know, maybe that's just me.
If success is based off where you were drafted, then Jamarcus Russell would have his bust in Canton right now.
That's right. Greg Oden would be better than Kevin Durant. So
yeah, amen to that.
Exactly. So I was just talking about. I know you're a big head transplant guy. As you know, the program has followed this story extensively, and now they're going to do it in China instead of England. I don't know why they can't do the United States, but I'm not really a big China guy at all, so I'm feeling that I'm not happy about it at all. Do you think that they're going to be able to successfully transplant a head in China with the state of their country?
You know, some of these things to me are just like such foreign concepts. You know, I was never a big science guy, and to just hear these capabilities is shocking to me.
Yeah.
So I wanted to mention that first. But in terms of China versus England versus the U.S., you know, I'm not sure that it matters. As long as you have a smart team and good technology with China, which China has both of, and I'm sure England and the U.S. do. I mean, they're all first world countries and some of the highest GDP countries in the entire world. I don't think it's really an issue of, you know, are they going to be able to do it? I think if one of those countries can do it, then the other two would also be able to do it. It's kind of like an all or nothing thing, really.
I think they should try North Korea, maybe.
Yeah, I definitely don't think they should try that, actually. I'm kind of interested to see what Trump does with all that stuff. Things are getting pretty dicey there, and it doesn't seem like, you know, either side has firmly said anything yet.
I feel like they should drop another one of those mobs right on Kim's house. That's what they should do. That's what I would do, so that's my platform.
I just think the people there like him too much. It would cause major problems. And also there's, you know, China's relationship with North Korea and Kim Jong-un. So.
Do you see he said he's going to put if there's war, he's going to have an army of 500,000 women. And he's going to put them all on the front lines and dare the United States to bomb them.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said he has an army of 500,000 all women. And he's like, they're going to fight first. So if you want to kill all the women, I mean, go for it, but you're going to look bad. What? Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a very tactical thing to say. I mean, I don't even know how to react to that. I mean, I think if it's soldiers, it's soldiers. If it's the opposition, it's the opposition. So.
Right, right, right. Yeah, and also, I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a huge scandal at George Washington University. We had Marquise on a few weeks ago to talk about it. They had student government elections, and there was a presidential race, and there were two main candidates and then a fringe candidate. But the one main candidate, the girl, I forget her name, the girl was accused of... No, this is at George Washington.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. I just got a call from Maryland, but then they just hung up, so we're going to keep going. But the show reaches all states. But anyway, they were running this heated campaign, and apparently she stalked him, and she had her friends follow him around everywhere and, like, take pictures of him and stuff and see who he talked to and where he was with and dig up dirt on him. And then she orchestrated this whole smear campaign, and he accused her of harassing him and like, lying about it and everything. And then there was this big investigation, and they had this hearing. It went to, like, 5 in the morning, and they booted her. They booted her out of the race. But then... Now they're not letting him become president either. They suspended the elections until September. But, of course, the rival newspaper at GW, which Marquise works for, leaked all this stuff. And then they had to say, we don't even know if any of it's true. They leaked it all against her. So I think Marquise and the rival have been exposed as a agenda-driven media operation. And so GW is basically going down in flames is the sum of that story, which is what I love to hear, of course.
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean, you know, it's not like your best friend goes there.
No, it's not like I feel like he's at the center of orchestrating this smear campaign against the girl who's running. So when I go down to D.C. this summer, I'm going to have some words for him.
if you told me at our graduation a few years ago that one of our classmates would get in trouble for writing for a libelous newspaper, 100% I would have thought Marquise.
Yeah.
So this doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, that's his MO. I mean, I love the guy, but he's a filthy liar, and I hate him. So just want to mention that.
Pretty strong.
No, I love Marquise, and I don't think his actions represent, or his newspaper's actions represent his feelings on the situation. But that goes without saying.
What are you gonna be doing? Go ahead. Yeah,
I'm just kind of surprised. Like, what kind of dirt did they dig up on him? Like, from following him around.
I don't know who he's talking to. Apparently, there are sketchy actors at GW that you don't want to be talking to, or places you don't want to be going to at certain times. And I guess he was doing it. There was another angle to it that I don't remember. So, but
okay.
But basically,
what does he have to hide? I mean, it's kind of like the whole Donald Trump. Why doesn't he release his tax return?
Well, you don't need to bring Trump into this, but yeah, you know. Because his tax returns are 8 million pages long, and no one will be able to understand it, and then they'll just take out one little thing from it and use it to smear him.
Well, then entertain us and let it out if you think that no one would understand it.
Well, no, they won't say we don't want to understand it. They'll say, look at this tiny section of it and use it to gin up some false, phony controversy or smear campaign tactic.
I'm sure that he's hiding something in his tax return. And, he even said during the first, I think it was the first presidential debate, that his, low tax incidence is what makes him smart.
Yeah.
And it is very capitalistic of him. So, I can understand why he says that. But at the same time, from, a fairness standpoint and from, a doing what's best for society, which is, the job of the president, or one task of the president, it's kind of just a very fishy statement. And so that's the type of stuff that worries me. And, going back to the whole GW thing, it's the same thing. What do you have to hide if you're running for president? Like, you shouldn't be doing these shady things, even if it is boosting your own agenda.
But I mean, I feel like that was something that it's not anything he did that was wrong, but yet it was still capitalized on by the media to try to spin it against him. When he did this 15 years ago or whatever, he had no idea he was going to be the Republican nominee for president 15 years later. All he was trying to do was pay as little in taxes as he possibly could, which is what everyone tries to do when they pay taxes. Legally pay as little as possible. That's the goal of every person who pays taxes. No one is saying, I'll pay extra taxes that I don't have to pay. Nobody does that. So it's not like he did anything wrong, and yet it was still used against him. So I'm sure there are a bunch of other things like that in his tax returns that he just does not care to have these fake stories ginned up against him for stuff that he didn't do anything wrong. He did what everyone else tries to do, but he just did it better than a lot of people do. I mean, I don't hold it against him.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's not super topical at this point just because it was so long ago, but what's kind of your opinion on the whole fake news thing and his, calling out legitimate news sources and news articles and then making up these phony claims about how his inauguration was the most attended in history?
See, that was that was fake news. Not on Trump's part, on the media's part. Because
So what did Trump say?
No.
I kind of misquoted.
Trump didn't say it. It was Spicer. Spicer said it was the most viewed inauguration ever, which is an accurate statement. But the media said, Spicer said it was the most attended. There's a big difference between viewed and attended. Viewed can be...
Viewed is online, on TV.
Exactly. And thanks to internet streaming and everything, it was the most viewed inauguration ever. Now, Spicer, of course, was trying to spin it and pivot away from the idea that not as many people came as Obama, which is true. Which is true, but what he said was true. But the media turned it around and decided to conveniently misrepresent the word he used, and then, of course, it made him look dumb, but that's, of course, not what he said. It's like when the media made fun of Palin for saying, I can see Russia from my house. She never said that. Her SNL actor said that, actress said that. I mean, it's just stuff that people don't say that they want to spin. It's very frustrating. Yeah. And, of course, not as many people came to the inauguration because... Of the millions of people that live in D.C., 98% of them vote Democrat. So, of course, if a Democrat wins the presidency, all they have to do is wake up and step outside and they're at the inauguration. And, if Trump's inauguration was held in, Iowa or Ohio, I bet you'd have a lot of people there. But, you know, it's tough to have a lot of people when the place you're having it in has about 10 Republicans.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, I don't know.
Do you think that was in line with, like, a Republican president like George Bush's inauguration? I mean, I never looked into it, but...
Oh, that's a fair question. I didn't see. All I saw was the Obama comparisons, but that's actually a fair point. I have not seen it. That, I gotta be honest. But, yeah, anyway, we're 100 days in. Mike Pence is at the stage now. Trump's in the great state of Pennsylvania.
Great.
And has he met or fell short or exceeded your expectations? What were your expectations, and what has he done to them so far?
I thought he would create tenuous ties in different nations that, you know, the U.S. is currently engaging with, you know, talking about Syria and North Korea. I thought, you know, he would make an already tenuous situation much worse. I don't think he's really done that. I think that he's been pretty reactionary, but in a good way. He hasn't, you know, been that typical bold Donald Trump character when addressing these nations in the way that I thought that he might be.
Right.
While he has been bold, and while he has, you know, kind of gone there to a certain extent, he's not, you know, what everyone was concerned about, in my opinion. So,
right.
You know, for me, foreign policy is a big, big hotbed issue. So I'll call myself tentatively impressed.
Okay.
On, you know, the economic stuff, the healthcare stuff,
yeah,
he hasn't really done much. I mean, I know that he tried to pass the healthcare, got you know, rejected at the 11th hour.
Yeah,
or it couldn't get passed at the 11th hour. So, you know, he hasn't really gotten to do much there. You know, I'm not really sure about the tax cut that he proposed.
Yeah,
he was
we'll
calling
say.
It like the biggest one ever, or Sean Spicer said that, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of interested to see like what implications it has, but
right.
To me.
Right.
I don't even want to comment because I'm really not sure, you know, what that would mean for Americans and what that means for the current deficit that we run.
No, yeah, I agree with you. I think he did. He's done better than I expected with foreign policy, and I agree with what you said in some. And domestic policy, yeah, it's a slow start, but like it took Obama with unified government almost 500 days to pass Obamacare. So people are like freaking out that he couldn't get health care done in a couple months. You know, calm down. It takes some time. You know, I know he has a unified government, but so did Obama. It took him almost 2 years. So,
yeah.
But anyway.
I'm not really concerned about that.
No.
One thing I did want to ask you about is, like, when he was having those rallies or whatever in Florida, if he was, like, you know, running for president, like, what is that about? Do presidents typically do that? Or?
I think Obama had one after he was inaugurated like that, and Trump... Yeah, I feel like that's where he thrives. He's doing one now in Pennsylvania to mark his 100 days, so I guess that's why he's doing it tonight. But I think he loves being in the crowd and, like, the interaction. That's sort of, like, his comfort space, I feel like. So, I don't know. I think he likes doing them a lot. He likes the attention. He likes the applause. He likes being in a room where everyone, you know, is on his side.
Yeah.
I don't think it's normal, but maybe it will be normal now. Who knows?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, all right, well...
Different age, so...
Well, you got your solid 15 minutes in, and you made the show better.
I appreciate you having me on the show, as always, Ben. It's been real.
Yep.
Is this the last episode of the year, or you got one more in you?
So, I don't know. We have a couple club baseball games tomorrow. If we win one of them, we go to New York next weekend for the playoffs, so we'll see.
Oh, look at that.
Maybe in the playoffs, may not be. We'll see. So, could be the last one until the fall. So it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a great year, Ben.
Yeah, I'm glad you.
I guess I'll be rooting against you guys tomorrow. So.
Oh well, thank you. It's in goodwill there. I appreciate it.
Hi. Yeah, it's for the sake of the show. So.
Exactly. All right. Thank you very much, Will. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, Ben. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.
Will Gathis on the program. Always a very fair and straightforward guest. We always love having him on. Pence just introduced Trump. We'll go to him for a minute here and see what he says at the opening, see if he breaks any news. Then we'll play a couple songs, and then we'll get out of here. So Trump taking the stage now in Harrisburg.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It is truly great to be back in the wonderful, beautiful state of Pennsylvania. I love this state, and I love the people of this state. It's special, and it carried us to a big, beautiful victory on November 8th. I want to recognize some of our friends that have helped us so much. Congressman Scott Perry.
All right, we don't care about him. We don't care about the people who have helped him out so much. This is going to take a while. We don't want to hear who he's recognizing. It's not important. So we'll get to Aaron Watson's new album is pretty good. This is, I think, the single, latest single off of his. So he's sort of like a Texas guy who doesn't really have a big label or anything promoting him nationally, but he has a pretty good album, so I'll take a listen. Perfect timing here for the final song. This should have been a huge hit, but it was not because there was some issue with his record label or something, so that it didn't end up getting promoted. But Eric Paisley is an up-and-coming guy. He's had a couple number one songs. This one should have been a number one song, but again, some nonsense intervened and did not allow it. So we'll play this and get out of here. Join us again maybe next Saturday. Probably not, but maybe. We'll see where we're at. Might be in New York, might not be. And then I guess, I don't know, the week after, I guess would be, no, I'm home the next, oh, that could be the final show of the semester. So this could be the final song of the final show of the semester. If we're not back next weekend, we'll be back in the fall, most likely, unless something happens that would cause them to get rid of my show. But I don't think that'll happen because we're number one and we're gonna remain being number one. So thank you very much. We'll see you next week, possibly, and if not, in the fall. And this one's Angels in This Town by Eric Pasley. Should have been number one. Outrage that wasn't.
Hail Mary touchdown, caught it, don't know how. Felt something lift you up a little bit higher. Six for the win and the crowd goes wild. Ain't nothing better than a hometown choir. Between the dirt and sky, don't know when. An hour, missed that truck by the